Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Peyton Jones guides us through the Old Testament book of Leviticus. Now to Pastor Peyton.
Today we're in Leviticus chapter 3 on Through the Word. It's time to put on your slip-resistant shoes and your priestly robes, because blood, it be a-splattering, and it's about to get messy again. But we've got a few more chapters of sacrifices to cover. But chapter 3 will start to bring into focus how varied each sacrifice is and what beautiful pictures they paint of our salvation from different angles. In particular, chapter 3 looks at the peace offering. The peace offering at its heart is about restoring broken relationships. And as usual, our chapter is broken down into three sections based on what you can offer. If you could afford to offer a bull, then verses 1 through 5 are for you. If you could offer a sheep, then verses 6 through 11 are yours. And 12 through 16, lastly, is about goats. Sadly, there is no option to offer a dove, communicating to us that restoring broken relationships is costly. Lastly, there's only one instruction given about this sacrifice, and it covers all the sacrifices, namely verse 17, where it says, "It shall be a statute forever throughout all your generations and all your dwelling places, that you shall eat neither fat nor blood." More on that later. Years ago, a man wrote a book called Dinner with a Perfect Stranger. In it, an ordinary office worker gets a small invitation card delivered to his cubicle, which reads, "Dinner tomorrow night, 7 p.m. It lists a location, and it is signed at the end, "Jesus." He looks around, smiles to himself, and asks over the cubicle walls, "Okay, very funny. Whose idea of a joke is this?" When nobody cops to the joke, he decides to go along with it. And when he gets there, discovers the man he's talking to is, in fact, who the card says he was. Of course, the man disbelieves for multiple reasons when he gets the card, but one of them is the overriding belief that most people hold. God's just not that interested in me. He's just not that into you. But what if you were wrong? What if God was dying to have a meal with you? What if you could sit across the table from him and have a conversation? What would he say? What would he be like? Would God really desire or want my company? Would I feel awkward, ashamed, unloved, or would it be the best night of your life? Something you should know about the peace offering: it was a blast. Hardwired into the Jewish way of life were feasts of celebration. They were joyous occasions where these former slaves celebrated the miraculous freedom that God gave them. Put simply, they enjoyed God. If that sounds good to you, then you're going to love the peace offering. This sacrifice is called the peace offering because this is the one where you get to partay. And I mean party like it's 1999, except it's thousands of years BC. Unlike the whole burnt offering where it all goes up in flames, when you offered the peace offering, you got to eat some of it. And everybody loves a good barbecue. Like the whole burnt offering, the priest would take the blood, he would splash it against the altar again, but this time he would burn the fat. And lastly, you got to sit down and you ate. Although it sounds a little bit dry when you're reading it, it actually wasn't dry at all. It was a fun one to offer. Through the peace offering, God was communicating to us that after we're forgiven, we have peace in our relationship with God, and we can sit down and eat with him. Eating is a big deal in the Middle East. I know because I married into an Arabic family. Where there's two or more Arabs, you will find food in the midst of them. That culture loves to eat. All throughout the Bible, sitting down to eat is a sign of friendship, intimacy, closeness. Abraham, who's called the friend of God, encounters God and two angels outside of his tent. They sit down, they eat lunch together. That's what friends do. When you want to get to know a person better, you go and get coffee, frozen yogurt, or food. When you go on a date, you take them out to eat. Why? Because it's a great time to talk. In the New Testament, Jesus writes to the church in Revelation that has forgotten him and pleads, "If any man hears me knocking at the door of his heart, I'll come in and eat dinner with him." This sacrifice reminds you that the sacrifice of Jesus restored your fellowship with God. There's nothing more exciting than to know that there's nothing between you and him. We who are far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. This sacrifice is also a little more lax. It allows us to offer a female in verse 1, and there can even be blemishes in it, according to Leviticus chapter 22, verse 23. There the symbol has more to do with us than it does God. Jesus is saying, I want to get to know you, warts and all. That's why Hebrews chapter 10 tells us we should have confidence with God so that we should draw near. When you sat down to eat this feast, you knew that all was right between you and God, and there's no better feeling in all the world. But there were two major rules in regards to the peace offering. Again, that reminder is found in verse 17. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwelling places that you eat neither fat nor blood. By and large, this sacrifice looks almost identical in what they have to do to the whole burnt offering, with an exception, and it's in regards to the fat. Verse 3 reads, And from the sacrifice of the peace offering as a food offering to the Lord, he shall offer the fat covering the entrails, and all the fat that is on the entrails, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, and the loins, and the long lobe of the liver that he shall remove with the kidneys. What's that all about? Number one, you couldn't eat the fat. Like Jack Spratt, all the fat belonged to God. This was God's way of saying, I don't just want your all like the whole burnt offering. I want your best too. You see, the fat flavors the meat in any barbecue. And back then, it was known as the best part of the meat. Lesson here is that any relationship requires our best. And in giving Jesus, God gave us his best. He wants us to do the same. To illustrate, Martin Lloyd-Jones tells a story of a farmer. A farmer bounded joyfully into his kitchen one day and, confronting his wife with a great big grin on his face, he announced to her that the finest cow had just given birth to twins, one brown and one white. He said, I feel the impulse to dedicate one of these cows to the Lord. We'll bring them up together, and when they're at a marketable age, we'll sell them and keep the proceeds from one, and we'll give the proceeds of the other to the Lord. His wife went right to the issue as wives are prone to do and said, Which is the Lord's cow, the white one or brown one? He replied, Well, there's no need to worry about that, dear. No need to decide now since we'll raise them together. Some months later, he entered the same kitchen, a little more slowly, looking very sad. His wife asked why he was so sullen, to which he replied, I have bad news. The Lord's cow died. Always seems to be the Lord's cow that dies, doesn't it? The second rule of the peace offering was that you couldn't eat the blood. Not only is it nasty to eat blood, but God wanted them to understand the life is in the blood. It's the blood that saves you. As you jump into Leviticus chapter 3 today, note the pattern. See what the priest does with the blood, then see what he does with the fat, and lastly, see what God says about it. You be the judge as to whether or not God likes a good barbecue. You've got reservations at Leviticus table 3 today. As you come in, ask for a seat by the window. It's an incredible view. Come hungry and get ready for the night of your life as you're wined and dined by the brother like no other. You'll never have company like him again, and he's been dying to spend time with you, literally. Bon appetit.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.